Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How are my beautiful co-hosts feeling this week?
I am moving in a couple days, so not good.
Not great. No, that adds up. Checks out.
I'm doing fine. My belongings are all staying where they are, so.
Shit. Okay, show off.
Show off.
I'm not going to pick up everything I own and move it to a different place.
So I'm having the time of my life. Moving sucks. I'm sorry, but it's going to be over so soon.
Yeah, you're almost there.
Yeah, so true.
Well, in my world...
You're at the part of Mount Everest where the oxygen gets real dicey, you know, but you're almost there.
I am on happiness duty this week. It was my duty to be happy about something. It was my job and my duty to be happy about something so that I could report it on our podcast. I have been really busy getting ready. One of my best friends, friend of the pod, Anna and Josh, they're both friends of the pod, are getting married this weekend, so I've been doing a bunch of DIYs for that. That has nothing to do with my happiness. I guess it's just some context. I'm just trying to share what's going on with me. But I think that my happiness thing is that I didn't plan any vacations for this summer, a summer time when you usually go on vacation. But I have vacation for my job, and I was like, what am I going to do with this vacation? And I remembered that for the past decade, every year in September, I go into this mode with myself where I'm like, I'm going to have a really fun fall this year. I'm just going to really enjoy fall and just take it in and just have a reviving time, and it's my favorite season, and I'm going to be loving life. And actually, I'm never loving life, and I don't take advantage of it. And the winter comes to Minnesota, and I think I wasted that. So I thought, this year, I will take vacation in fall. Fall vacation, 99% sure. I am going to go on a little road trip, I think, into Canada in the fall.
Nice. I love that for you.
Thank you.
That sounds great.
I feel very good about it.
What part of Canada?
Well, I'm going to go straight up. I think I'm going to try and do a big loop because I want to get over to Nova Scotia again. But I'm in Minnesota, so I've never gone around the top of, which one is that going to be? Superior and Ontario are up there. Superior and then over to Ontario. Does that sound right?
It's very possible.
Anyway, there seem to be a bunch of beautiful national parks, wilderness. It's like looking at the ocean, but it's a lake. But it's an inland sea, actually.
My Canadian grandparents had a cottage on Lake of the Woods that we went to for a month every summer my whole childhood, and it is beautiful there if you drive past that whole area.
I'm going to go to your grandparents' cottage.
Yeah.
The
people who bought it have really done some monstrosity work to it, so.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
But I think that's my happiness thing. Now I just have to plan the trip. I'm really not deep into this. I just made this decision, but I'm September into October vacation. That is a good time to take vacation.
That's a great time to take a vacation. That's going to fucking rule.
Yeah. You're going to live it up in fall. It's going to be the best fall ever.
I've got to. And I'll just do my job in August, which is fine.
Yeah, that's not a problem at all.
I did have a very funny moment in a meeting this week where it's like we were talking about timelines for something, and one of my coworkers who I like work with on a lot of stuff was like, well, I think we need to be mindful, like, you know, I'll be taking vacation in August and Allie, I'm sure, will be taking vacation. And then it sounded so pointed when I had to be like, no, I won't be taking any vacation. She said, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, oh, don't be sorry. I just didn't schedule it. Okay, enough happiness. Did we have a good time with wrestling this week? I think we did.
We had a pretty good time.
Yeah. We had a great time, maybe.
I feel like Dynamite's been on an upswing for me the last couple weeks.
I've been having fun. Yeah. I don't think we're in the minority, but I think there have been some mixed reactions that we're on the more positive side of. Let's start out by talking about our blind tag team eliminator tournament. We've got two storylines going on here, pretty much. So we'll start by talking about MJF and Adam Cole continue to have their get-along shirt adventures this week. So we got a pre-tape, like, comedy skit sketch. We'll get into it. In which they were hanging out at a bar, they went and played video games, they bonded about how they're both little rat scorpion boys. They seem to really be growing their friendship, their relationship. And then also on Dynamite, they fought Big Bill and Brian Cage and won. We also got another little backstage sketch where Roderick Strong, we really got to get into Roderick Strong's this week. For a man whose face I can't conjure up when I try to think about him, I'm loving him.
They're perfectly executing a love triangle storyline. I don't know what they think they're doing, but
absolutely
they're
no idea.
Doing it perfectly.
I think they think it might be like normal friendship betrayal feelings, but it isn't. So Roderick Strong once again approached Adam Cole being like, I am really in his neck brace, so pathetic, Roddy. Being like, I'm really worried that you are starting to like this guy. And Adam Cole was like, of course I'm not starting to like this guy. And then immediately got a text from him and was like, I've got to go, Roddy. He's calling.
Don't you think he's like the Ben Stiller character in like Reality Bites?
Oh, yeah. Yes. He is, actually.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even, should we explain this? Should we explain this concept? I kind of think we should.
I think we should. Yeah.
And in our friends group, so you have a lot of movies and media where there's a love interest, and then there's also like a temporary love interest who's just there to kind of get...
A placeholder
who's there to like get treated badly or treat badly, like, and we call that man... It's usually a man. Across the board, we call that man... A Josh. And Roderick.
Last name, Collateral Damage.
Yeah, Josh Collateral Damage. And he's just there to suffer, but sometimes he deserves it. And Roderick Strong is a classic Josh.
Classic
I mean,
he
it's like, that is just a man who every day is like, I wish that we were Endgame. But we're not, and I know that, and I'm struggling with it.
Really struggling?
It's very clear from the narrative that not Endgame at all.
No. Yeah, this isn't going to work out, but God, what if it did?
He's still hoping. He's holding on. Maybe
he's
after
MJF
breaks
his
heart.
Lot, like staring at the ceiling, just like, what if it worked? And then just being like, Roddy, you fucking idiot.
I feel like he also, like, there's a level to which he wakes up and he's like, this is the day you get over it. This is the day you're going to look around. There's other
he's
people.
He's totally like, he's walking around being like, he's like, I am over it. I totally haven't thought about him in an hour or two, and I'm doing great. I haven't thought about him at all. He's walking around, and then the instant he sees him, he's like, oh, fuck. I'm not over him at all.
He's going into the bathroom in the morning, looking at himself in the mirror. He's trying to touch his own mirror man's face. He says, I'm learning to love myself. I'm learning to respect myself. I deserve good things. I will build a better life for myself. And then he goes out, he makes the same dumb mistakes because love just gets you that way sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? This is why we like him now. He's a relatable man. He's relatable.
We love a pathetic man. Wearing a neck brace.
Like my best friend's wedding energy, where it's like, if you told me like Adam Cole and Roderick Strong made a pact that if neither of them was married before they turned 40, God. They would get married. And Roderick Strong has been just being like, and that'll be my chance. When
he's
we
like,
get married at 40, that'll be my chance.
And they're like 39 right now, and then MJF just swoops right in.
And he's like, it can't work. It can't work out. But what if it did?
What if it did?
Love you, Roderick Strong. I really can't picture his face. I can't get it in there.
It just looks like the Hugh most... Jackman, except like less interesting. Like dollar store Hugh Jackman.
He's very handsome in a very bland way. Okay. He could rob a convenience store and no one would ever catch him. It's the kind of face he's got.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had to describe him to like a police like artist or whatever, they would just draw like a smiley face.
Well, maybe we are in his like villain origin story right now then. And like, yeah, he is going to become the world's most forgettable mastermind. And it's all because Adam Cole wouldn't love him. What other thoughts you guys have about MJF and Adam Cole in this episode of Dynamite? Their dynamic, how they were presented. What did you like?
I really love this little sketch. I feel like when Jungle Boy and Hook were like claiming to be best friends, we were like, just show them playing video games or something. So it's like showing them playing video games. It was delightful. MJF getting a little vulnerable about not having friends. That's what I like.
Well, I like it, but I also like, I like the classic MJF thing of like, it's vulnerable and you're a little bit like, but you know that that's a vulnerable thing to say, right? So like, how much of what you're doing, like, I think it's like he's often performing things being like, I know how this is going to come off. But then you're like, but there's an underlayer of, but it is actually how you feel. And you're just dealing with that bad feeling by performing it and pretending you have control over it. I like that aspect of MJF's characterization where you're like, I think that you could be putting on an act, but the act is still real, actually.
Yeah, totally. He's very manipulative and very, he's got a very three-dimensional character in a weird way. Like, he's very, his like layers of insecurities and manipulations and like performance. And yeah, it's, I feel like you kind of know people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it's obviously it's exaggerated, but it's like well-written comic book character.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like where you're like, yeah, this isn't, like, this isn't how this would necessarily manifest in a real person, but I can see all the real actual psychological ish that's just stewing in that pot. You know, have you guys been, I don't know why you would be seeing this, on TikTok right now, there is somebody who's making something called a perpetual stew, which I'd never heard of.
Yeah. Is it like in New York in the park or something?
Oh, they do keep hosting shindigs so people can eat from the perpetual stew.
Is that the one where they had like a frequently asked questions and they were like, is the stew good? And they were like, well, it depends on the day.
Yes, yes, that's okay. Right. Yeah. Yes, wow. Okay, so you have encountered it. Well, anyway, I just thought that's what's happening in MJF's brain.
Perpetual stew. People just bring him ingredients. He throws them in. You know, it depends on the day how good
it tastes good. It depends on the day.
That line where MJF, like Adam Cole was like, have you never played a video game before or in multiplayer before? And MJF was like, you need friends for that. And like a really studied, casual voice really broke me. It really laid me down.
It's great. I think it's working really well. I think it's working really well for Adam Cole because, again, we have that vibe of like, Adam Cole does miss being a bad guy.
Oh,
He
could
wants
tell.
To be good now, but
he's genuinely having so much fun with MJF. And I feel like somebody pointed out that like he keeps saying you can't say that in public, but like not you can't say it, but like not in front of people.
Not like that's actually a bad thing to think. He's like, of course we all think that, but you can't say it. I think it's going really well. I don't know. Any other thoughts? I mean, I guess my big one is just like everyone got in a debate about whether or not it was good for them to do this pre-tape. And honestly, the only thing I really want to say is it was a pretty short pre-tape. And I thought it was effective. Some people are not going to do a good job in that situation. Like some people would make something stupid and bad and agonizing. But MJF and Adam Cole have really good like chemistry. And they're both very funny, and it suited them very well, and it didn't take that long. And I just think that sometimes we should be allowed to have that, like, for those of us who like it, if it's quick and you're in and out and it does something to establish character, can you just let us have it sometimes? It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because everybody who complained that it's WWE-ish, doesn't the WWE do that instead of good wrestling? Like that, like it replaces the wrestling. AEW doesn't have that problem, so let them goof off every now and then.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes people are just like so reflexively like they hate WWE, so if anything reminds them of it, they're like, it must be bad. But it's like, but this was good. And I think a lot of times too, it's like when people say we should introduce them or like have a video package, it's like, honestly, like it's way better for me. Like it's more fun and interesting if they like establish people's characters like in relationship to each other. So it's like 30 seconds of two guys bickering with each other, like establishes their characters for me way better than like a video package that's like, well, in ROH they did this or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
That's a really good point, Anne, because I do think whenever those, whenever we get like those video packages that are like telling us, you know, like this is who this person is and you have the music and stuff, it does just kind of slide off my brain like a lot, because like I need to hear the person talking and I need to see them in relation to someone else. And then like I have a better idea of who they are.
Yeah. I mean, how long has it been? And we still have no idea what's up with Samoa Joe, because he's never done one of those.
If he ever interacted with anyone in like a ongoing way, like in a non-wrestling, like if he ever said two words to anybody, I feel like I would have a much better sense of like what his deal is. But and now he's on Collision,
I guess he may have said words on Collision. I guess we don't know that now, but he had his chance. He had his opportunity and he didn't say them to us. Any other takeaways from the MJF Adam Cole stuff? I think we did have this note that like Britt is now mad at Adam Cole, and Leah, I think you said something about this.
Yeah. So I thought the recapper, I was not Eric Beeston, somebody else was like, if this ends up being a situation where MJF turns on Adam Cole and in the process manages to destroy Adam's relationship with both Britt and Roddy Strong, that's so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's incredibly funny, and like I would love to see what happens to Adam Cole then. Like I'd love to see like Adam Cole nice face had his nice friend, although I don't actually know anything about Roderick Strong, so
no.
Like I'm like I don't really know if he's a nice guy actually, even though he says it quite a bit. But yeah, he just had his like nice life, and if MJF just ruins it, I'd love to watch Adam Cole like glonk around in the dirt dealing with that.
I know. I like am seeing like a BTE sketch where like Adam gets thrown out of Britt's like hotel room, and then he knocks, he comes to Roddy's door, and Roddy finds the strength to close it in his face, and then Adam Cole walks down to the Buck store and they're like, yeah, right. And then like he walks down like he just like goes lower and lower, and it's like finally he's like the Dark Order. He's like, hey, remember, what was his name? Pudge?
Budge.
Hey, remember when we were Budge?
He ends up crawled in bed between John Silver and Alex Reynolds, just kind of sadly.
That just feels so right. And actually, like, you know, that would be a good, because he has that history with Hangman, and now they're so mad at Hangman, it would be kind of fun to get them aligned with Adam Cole again. Not to pick up the feud necessarily, but just like the way that you're maneuvering people around there would kind of make sense. So
that would
be very funny. I love that picture too, because I'm imagining Roderick Strong closing the door, and then he's like leaning back on it, just being like, you are strong, like you are powerful, you deserve love, you are enough. And then being like, I made a huge mistake. And he opens the door to be like, no, come back, you can come in, just as Adam Cole goes into John Silver and Alex Reynolds. Roddy, no.
Oh, that's okay. All I want.
I know. They won't give it to us. It would be pre-taped, so nobody wants us to have it. Okay, let's talk about the other thing going on in this tournament, which was Darby and OC fighting Sammy Guevara and Danny Garcia on probably Dynamite, must have been. Sammy and Danny ended up winning thanks to interference from Swerve Strickland. So he like showed up out of nowhere, knocked Darby out, and then Sammy pinned Darby even though he was fully knocked out. And I think he was trying to communicate. I get like he was doing kind of like, should I do it? Well, I guess I have to. And then afterwards he like apologized to Darby and wanted to shake his hand. It was very funny because I was like, I think this is how someone should be behaving if they're already an established face, but they are like going to heel turn, so they're starting to do bad things. It's very funny to have Sammy do this when I think that you're actively trying to face turn him. I don't know about that, but I don't care either. It's fine.
The look on Darby's face when Sammy was holding out his hand to him, like, of just, like, disgust and annoyed, just like, ugh, it was so funny. I was like, sometimes they do face acting or body acting in the ring, and it's just like, this is good communication.
Yeah. No, it was, that was extremely funny, good work on Darby's part. Do you guys want to talk about what's maybe going on with little DG and Sammy and Jazz?
I don't know. I'm so interested in that because, like, I feel like Daniel Garcia was doing this thing. Like, he did the thing with Brian Danielson for a long time where he was like, am I going to be seduced over to BCC? Am I going to stay with JAS? And then they abruptly dropped it because, of, you know, Sammy needed it more. So they dropped it. And I feel like for a little while there, he was, like, kind of lost his balance a little bit. Like, it wasn't clear what he was doing. Like, did he like Sammy? Did he not like Sammy? What was he doing? But I feel like the past couple weeks, he's really found his footing again because he's just such a little, like, unrepentant goof where he's just like,
yeah,
listen, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. And his little dance.
Especially.
His little dance got over big time. I feel like everybody is, like, complimenting it now.
Yeah. I was, that's what I was going to say too, is like that dance got over and he just looks like he's genuinely having so much fun when he does that bit and everybody likes it. And yeah, I mean, I think I don't really understand what happened with his, I understand more like maybe that with the BCC Jazz thing, they were like, okay, we're going to press pause on that. And like, we want that to be a longer term thing. Like, we don't want you to switch over this fast. Like, I don't know, I'm not making an argument for it, but it makes more sense to me than his relationship with Sammy, which makes no sense to me because they don't seem to even have committed to, like, this is what we think their relationship is.
No, they definitely hop skipped somewhere because, like, they were doing the thing where, like, Sammy rejoined the JAS and Daniel Garcia had, like, weird, like, sibling syndrome where he was like, you are taking my daddy's love and I used to have all the attention and now you are taking his attention and I don't like that. And like, they were tag teaming reluctantly and Sammy was enjoying tormenting him, and then abruptly they were actually seemed to be like little devil friends and were fine, and then now Sammy's face turning and Daniel Garcia isn't, so they're having friction that way. So it's just sort of like, it's none of it's really explained.
And I haven't, I think I might just not have clocked it, but I haven't even noticed that much friction now about their differing orientations. But
I think they just started it. Okay. It's like, since this tag team tournament is, like, I've been noticing, like, little things where, like, Daniel Garcia is like, why don't we do a little mischief?
No, I'm a good boy, actually. I never do bad things. Okay.
I'm going to be a father, actually, so.
God in heaven. What else do we have here? Okay, so the end of this tournament now. So now we have MJF and Adam Cole versus Sammy and Danny Garcia. And then whoever wins that match gets shipped off to Collision to fight FTR for the tag team titles, which they do still hold. They still hold those. They've had them for over 90 days, I saw recently. And that's crazy.
The fact that they gave them the tag titles right when, like, Dax's body just, like, gave up, apparently, and so they can't hardly wrestle. It's just like, Lord, what are we doing?
Yeah, Can't I hope Hardly Wrestle should be a wrestling podcast title.
It's that a pretty good title, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, should we change it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, maybe well, the we'll titles are gone, yeah. So.
Yeah, the titles so are true. Gone, so.
Yeah. Who do you guys think is going to win and get that opportunity to go to Collision and wrestle FTR?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think either team is going to, like, win, but I kind of think that Collision's going to want the pop, so I think it's going to end up being MJF and Adam Cole, I think. But I don't think they're going to get the titles.
To watch MJF and Adam Cole lose to FTR, it's like it's not exactly degrading, I guess, but it is at the same time.
Yeah, but like, is it better if they lose to Daniel Garcia and Sammy.
Well, they would have to. It's sort of humiliating no matter what happens at this point.
It's true.
Although, like, they have enough, like, tension that it's, like, you know, you can play that up to
However they lose, it's going to be protected. Like, it's going to it's going to be in a way that, like, doesn't make them look weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be so fun if they were tag team champs, though. It would be so fun.
And that would be an unbelievable twist. Like, I, like, that would, like, it would, like, TK would redeem himself at least 30%. Like, if I got 30. To see that reign for the next at least 90 days,
Yeah, I would want at least 90 days, and I would want... on it, so I said this earlier, it just occurred to me all of a sudden, I was like, it would be really funny if they scorpioned each other, but somehow still won the match, and then we're just tag team champions.
Really, which them being stuck together is just, like, it's working so well, and there are so many iterations that would be so funny.
Yeah. It kind of sucks that, like, the Acclaimed got over in the moment that they did, because I think that Swerve and Keith Lee were headed for that place too, where they were they were tag team champs that didn't really get along. But, like, I would love to watch a full exploration of that, because that's so fun.
Yeah.
Well, and with MJF and Adam Cole too, it would be so surface level, like, in a way that with Keith Lee and Swerve it wasn't, where they were kind of like, we're working through it, we're not trying to, you know, they got to a bad place. But MJF and Adam Cole, if you from day one, it was just like both of them being like, I didn't think this through, I should have just lost the match, trying to lose a match, but look what's happening to me now. And you could do a very funny thing where they, like, are just, like, trying to sabotage each other in matches, but then just still winning them because of other factors.
And they're, like, always so mad when they win, because, like, if they had lost, they would be out of this tag team situation.
Oh, my God. I would fucking kill for a ring where they're where it's, like, just the producers, where they're just trying hard to lose. And every single other time, they're like, no, how did you do this again?
Okay, and here's an idea. They have a lot of enemies between them, right?
Yeah.
If you had the locker room just get together and be like, they're making each other miserable, and that's so fun. And so they keep interfering so that MJF and Adam Cole win. Just to be like, fuck you guys.
That'd be so funny. And you could have, like, either one of them, MJF being like, we have to lose, and then Adam Cole, like, to spite him winning. Yes. You know, like, you can go back and forth like that. Man.
I just think that would be a blast, and I know
it would be so good. It would make the IWC so angry. It would make the level of discourse that we would be reading every day. Meltzer would not understand a single moment of this.
He's like, in the history of wrestling, nothing like this has ever happened before.
And Brian, they said that they weren't going to win, but then they did. They won.
I just know that I would have to read 7 think pieces about, like, this is really devaluing the tag team belt, and it's like, we're really past that. To bring a little comedy into the mix increases their value in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it would honestly build where you'd be like, at some point they're gonna lose though, and so every time you'd end up holding your breath, being like, is this the time they lose? And then, like, you could build up some babyface monster team to be like, finally, when they're the ones that are like, enough, let me take the belts.
And then I started to say the sword, like the Excalibur,
and I was like, that's a guy. So this
well, but I like, and now I like thinking about, like, we will take Excalibur from the commentary team. And that is a little bit of, let's get a little bit of a lore legend thing where it's like, who can extract Excalibur and use him to win, and that makes you the undisputed champion of the world,
the true king of AEW.
This
everlasting
is interesting. You know, this is something. Well, I think we booked it for you, Tony, so I know you won't do that. And
pure gold. Probably when they finally lose, they've been gunning to lose the whole time, but then they're kind of disappointed when they do.
They're kind of disappointed, and honestly, maybe they did kind of fall for each other again.
Yeah,
they fell for each other in a real way, and
Oh my god. Has to run to him to be like, I was just giving you the makeover as a bet, but in the end.
Okay. No, I can't really make it work on the spot, but I did just, in my mind, I thought, who beats them? It's Roderick Strong and returning legend Kyle O'Reilly.
Returning legend.
And it's just Kyle being like, you know, this, I haven't worked out what I think Kyle's vibe would be. So we got to circle back on that. Next installment, next week. Let's talk about the main wrestling event of Dynamite, which was little baby, but he's a man now, Nick Wayne versus, we'll get into that, versus Swerve. So they fought, and Nick Wayne lost, and Dave Meltzer was, he really was talking about it a lot today, and I didn't understand most of what he was saying, honestly, because he loves to make these arguments, and I love Dave, but he loves to make these arguments where he's like, historically, this is the way yeah. that you would write it. And I'm like, I understand that. Like, that's how I would talk about narrative, too, except don't you think that you should engage with, like, why you think that works, or, like, why doing it differently might work, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him saying that today, too, and it was really funny because it was just like, well, just because a storyline traditionally goes one way doesn't mean it shouldn't ever go, like, you know, make an argument that it, like, undervalues that, you know, whatever you're going to say. But, like, yeah, it made sense to me that, like, he's just 18 and he doesn't win right away. Like, that seems fine.
Yeah.
Really singing.
I mean, I don't think, like, the debut people all... like always win their first, like young, like that, like Sky Blue didn't win her first match, you know, like,
well, she's just a woman, so she's, you know, a woman, yeah. That's not a debut.
Come on, yeah. I don't think you should win a date. I don't think that the normal thing should be to win a debut. Now Dave would say, but historically it is, and to that I say, I don't know about that, Dave, but I think we should think about the food that's on the plate in front of us. Yeah. Think about the story
and
that
it's
we're
like,
dealing with. Also,
that's
like,
exactly what I wish we could say to every single thing that was said to me of yeah, Dynamite. Right. Every, like, from the WWE discourse mm-hmm. on, just to be like, hey, don't look over there. Look at the food that's on your plate. Did you enjoy it? Don't look at anybody else's dinner. Look at your dinner.
Yeah, it's true. It's right. Well, it's like,
stop Dave's thinking about every dinner you've ever eaten. We're only thinking about this dinner. And
he's like,
this dinner works.
He's having a meltdown because mashed potatoes always have gravy historically. It's like, well, this time we're just having them with butter.
Dave, when you go to IKEA, they serve them with lingonberry sauce.
There you go.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, that you get gravy too, but it's a different kind, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's also like, if someone's debuting and you have a big video package, it's usually because they're a big deal somewhere else, so then they can win, sure. But, like, if they're a little baby.
The thing that I like about this, without weighing in yet on any thoughts that I have on Nick Wayne, which actually I don't have that many. He seemed nice, but he and Swerve and Darby over there in the Pacific Northwest, forgot where it was for a moment, they've built up their own little community of stories that they tell with each other, and I love that, and I think mm-hmm. it is fun that they were like, we have a really, like, easy way to introduce this guy because there's a lot of built-in history, and I think that's nice. Like, I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not really even arguing for anything right now. I'm just like, yeah, I think it's good that when you can introduce people in the context of people they know. That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Right.
Darby really has some good feuds with people he has history with on the indies. I feel like they really should be, like, emphasizing that, because it's like, oh, when Darby and Swerve, like, have this long history, like, that's electric when he and Ethan Page are, like, talking about their different life paths, you know?
Yeah, Darby really should be making more of, like, a deal about the fact that, like, apparently, like, the indies were his wild days. That's where
yeah. he has where he
so
was...
many evil exes. He has a lot of evil exes, yeah. Nick Wayne's gonna have to battle through all of them.
Yeah, well, the thing that I did think was weird, but now I'm worried that I'm just forgetting something. It is weird that, like, we have some insight into that, into the, you know, what they were up to on the indies, but they actually didn't get that deeply into it in any of the video packages. They were all about just, like, who little Nick Wayne is, a little prodigy, with a dead dad. So welcome to the welcome to the club, buddy, because that is what they love backstage at AEW. Mm-hmm.
Did you
for
guys
various
see
reasons.
All There's of like, the posts where like it was like Nick Wayne being like, my father died and now I don't have a father figure. And people were like, Christian Cage. And it's just like a guy running as fast as he can.
There's like 10 men in their 40s and 50s backstage who just like perked up and like started.
Right.
It's like a bachelor auction.
Some of them for good, some of them for bad. They're all in Tony's office being like, I would love a son. I would love to have a son.
I wish that they would do like The Bachelor, except it's like the dadchler.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Okay, yes. 100% yes.
If Nick Wayne was giving a rose to, like, he had to choose between Christian Cage, Chris Jericho,
Tony can even make it a tournament if he wants to. Oh, like, yeah. I know he loves tournaments.
Make the old men fight each other for the right to mentor somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Absolutely yes.
Yeah, Chris Jericho stops trying to... Like Chris Jericho stops trying to fight for the right to mentor anybody. He just keeps trying to fuck everybody in the bracket.
He says, look at all these adult
men. In this tournament. I'm in my adult lovers era. Not my father lover era, my adult lovers era.
Okay, when you let me into a grocery store, I go grocery shopping. What do you want from me?
Wow. Well, we're giving Tony a lot of ideas tonight. What did you guys think of the actual match? And looking at the dinner we ate on our own plate in front of us, what did you think of Nick Wayne losing and the potential plot implications going forward?
I kept forgetting to watch Nick Wayne because I for some reason just kept being like, Swerve is so fucking hot, like
he's so hot
like it's, I just kept like hot. Sitting it's there crazy. Being like, I would let him smash above anybody else, like he's so long yeah. and thick.
Yeah. I had when he was coming out and he has this like balaclava he wears now, and then he has those like teeth things that mm-hmm. he wears to make his teeth mm-hmm. look all weird. I thought, this man has to work so hard to make me like hesitate even a little.
I know. You know?
And yeah. even then it's like, well, still.
But
yeah.
they all come off. That comes off.
They all come off. That's right. I really feel like they really dropped the ball on Swerve for that period where we weren't seeing him except when he was with like Trench
yeah.
and Parker. It was just like, and they the whole Keith Lee thing like has just gone. It's so weird. I don't know what they're trying to do. Like, so I just wish that Tony would like follow through on people a little more consistently.
Especially because from all reports, Swerve has become an AEW man. Like he is yeah. he's like
yeah, he ratted out
a lifer.
Bobby Fish, I think, or somebody. Yeah.
I think it was Swerve.
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, Bobby. Rip. What was I going to say? Oh, the Swerve Keith Lee thing is really weird to me because it's not the kind of thing where it's clearly, like, just completely fallen off their radars. Like, they know that mm-hmm. Swerve and Keith Lee have history and, like, they're mildly doing stuff with it sometimes, and then just it's like it seems like weirder no follow through than other no follow throughs where I'm just like,
yeah,
what is happening backstage like about this
confusing.
Like, what is your long-term plan for this? And I guess maybe we'll find out eventually, maybe we won't, but it is crazy that they haven't yeah. had a singles match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. What? After that tag team one, it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. But I can't worry about it right now because right now I got my eye on the prize. It's Darby, Swerve, 2 to 3 months. I mean, take me through yes. the rest of the summer at
yeah.
least.
Yeah.
And I That's want, sexy. Darby, I want some of those topes where you look like a bullet, baby. I want to mm-hmm. see you moving so fast, but I want to see that man use his strength and his size to aggress you. And
yeah.
That's what I would like to see for 2 to 3 months, and I think I deserve it.
I yeah. want that, and I also want an uncomfortable backstage interview where somebody says something, like, aggressively erotic to Renee. Like, Renee's trying to be like, and so how was your match tonight? And somebody's like, I tried to put it inside.
Who's going to say that, do you think? Which of them do you think says, I tried to put it inside? Well, you know, Renee, I was just trying to get inside. I'm imagining it like
remember
when hockey
when we tried to keep
those,
this podcast clean.
No,
you
really
tried.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I could say show hole anytime I want. Thank God. Well, Renee, I tried to show hole.
That's Darby.
Renee would really handle it well, I think, too. She'd be a little taken aback, sure, but
I'm just, you know, when hockey players give interviews and they like are so stupid and like just can't talk. And so they're always just being like, well, we just got out there and we just did our best and just did our best, tried to work as a team. That is somehow how I'm imagining these interviews going, where it's like, well, Renee just got out there and tried to put it in and just tried to work as a team. I'd like to see some matches that make everyone mildly uncomfortable, because it's like, where is this going? What are you guys about to do here? Because they have a lot of unfinished business. And it is my, mm-hmm. I kind of think, it's like Nick Wayne doesn't need another father, because he has two fathers. He has an evil daddy and a good daddy. He has Darby and he has Swerve, and they were married and they had a very acrimonious divorce. And they were briefly maybe on good terms, but Swerve never got to know his son, and now, but they do know each other because they fought a lot. Well, I'm working on it. It's working.
It's kind of like a Lex Luthor Superman thing, right? Like, they had that kid. Yeah.
Oh my god, he's Connor Kent.
He's Connor Kent. Okay. When I make Allie sink back in her chair and stare at the ceiling, that's a point for me, babe.
Leah,
that's a point.
You got us there. You got us there. That's exactly what's going on. Oh, he's Connor Kent. Oh, and who are the little bat boys running around, you know?
Oh, Tim. Who's his Tim?
Who's his Tim?
Wow. See, you know, all our freshmen grew up, and now they're sophomores/juniors. We need some new freshmen.
New meat. Can any of us answer this question that Anne posed? We don't understand why this man had to turn 18 to be on our screens.
I was thinking about it because I was like, so he could wrestle in the indies, like, for money, performing. But he couldn't wrestle on TV, but children can act on TV. And it's not like it would be a crazy amount of hours in the wrestling ring. So, like,
why
were we counting down? Yeah, please.
I asked Sarah after you put this in the schedule, and she said that she's read two different plausible theories. One is that it was his mom, because his mom had, like, really strict rules about when and where he could wrestle and how often. And then the other one is that there's a lot of athletics, like sports commissions that still have rules. So he wouldn't have been able to wrestle in every, like, New York City, or New York doesn't let you. And so, like, he had to cancel, like, a GCW show. And so, those are the two plausible theories.
That would make sense. They could have gotten him when they were in one of the states that didn't, though, if they really wanted
to. But then they've got, like, a situation where
They can't have him
in a feud. Yeah. Like, if they have, like, they suddenly have to work around, like, the location, which I think could get goofy.
It makes sense to me that if they're just, like, blanket, it's just easier for us if we never have to think about where you can or can't do things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it remains funny to hear commentary just being like, and he's finally 18. And it's like, shut up, perverts.
He turned 18 2 days ago. Like, oh, was that a big day for you, Excalibur?
We're pretty excited about that, huh? And I don't think that's how they mean it, but it's like, we've got early aughts damage from, you know, it's like from watching poor Emma Watson grow up.
Yeah, right. Mm.
Well, we don't have to get into all that. It's sad. Sad, and that's just about, that's about women. That's about being a woman in the world. Nick Wayne, we're not sexualizing you. You are a child. So, unlike Hook, an adult. Well, let's talk about Chris Jericho. Now,
speaking of adults,
we'll sexualize him all we want. Yeah. This man's older than we are.
He looked good again.
He looked great.
Good again.
Yeah.
Hurrah.
And we got to see young Jericho with beautiful curls. I was shocked.
We need to start a conversation about how many wrestlers have beautiful curls and the things that they do to them over the years that destroy their hair to the point that I don't know if they could get those curls back. Now, hair changes as you age. It's true. But the number of men that we have seen with beautiful, glossy, natural curls in their youth who now have a flat ironed nightmare hair. Mm-hmm. Something is going wrong. The tips that they're exchanging are not right.
It's true. Tony Khan should be getting experts in there. Tony Khan has great curly hair. He should be able to get some people backstage to be like, guys, intervention.
Well, and it's like, if products are the problem, Tony, provide them, okay? Because when you go to if you go to a fancy gym or whatever, they have Kiehl's in the locker room.
Get some DivaCurl products.
Now, don't get them, yeah.
You said Diva Cup. I really heard Diva Cup, and I was like,
"Well, Diva Curls giving out Diva Cups too. Diva Cups and Diva Curls. Something for everyone." It's just, I just think it would be worth the investment because those curls were beautiful.
Yeah,
and you look, and you're looking beautiful now too, as well, Jericho. But we'll never get those back.
It looks like he's brushing it out now. Jericho, never brush your
hair. He is flat ironing. And he's like, it's like he is early aughts middle schooler flat ironing, I think. Like, he doesn't even have nice equipment. But he looks great.
He's using a literal iron, like in the 1960s.
Oh, my God.
And he for sure is, like, washing it with, like, Head and Shoulders 2-in-1.
Yeah, 100%.
I like that I started this. I actually didn't describe anything that happened with, well, he fought Commander and he won, and that was fine. But then Don Callis came out, and was just like, did you think any more about, like, the magic between us and just how good we could be together? And that's when they looked at the old pictures and reminisced about a man I've never heard of and I probably won't ever hear of again.
It seemed like their wrestle father. So it was sort of like a thing where it was like, remember, we used to be a family. We could have that again.
We could have that again. Well, raise some questions, but... I guess he must have been, I guess he was Canadian. I thought it was very funny. It's like, was totally fine. I'm not being mean about it. I think it's nice they talked about the wrestle dad. It was just funny. I was pretty high and like just kept kind of like looking at the screen and listening and just being like, who is this? Like, it's like, I just couldn't process the name. Something Allen, maybe. I don't know. Barry Allen, maybe? That just kept coming up. I just like couldn't process it and was just like, what is happening here? But it was just their dad.
It's just their dad.
Do you guys think that Jericho is going to join Don Callis's beautiful world?
I think that he's got to dump. Like, I think Sammy and Daniel Garcia do have to like push out onto their own. So it wouldn't be the worst thing, but I kind of want it to be like a thing where like he joins Don Callis's family and then like just takes it over and is like, Takeshita's actually my son now.
That would be really fun.
Who else is in Don Callis's Fuck Kenny faction? Because Takeshita is Don Callis's boy and he wants Chris Jericho in there now because they're adult lovers. Is there anybody else? Because the BCC seems kind of like ancillary. Like, Takeshita is like shared custody right now. Unless you think that's not the case, is there anybody else / who else would you like to see join a little Fuck Kenny Omega faction?
I was Googling to try to see if I could find that guy's name. And now I'm just like looking to see if anyone's talking about who else is in Don Callis's family. And they're not. So is it just that he's asking Chris Jericho to be his co-parent? Like, is he just saying, like...
I think so.
He needs two fathers. One father isn't enough anymore. We've tried it with one father, and look at everyone still fighting in this place. Every boy, two daddies. Nuclear families.
Also, the All Elite Wrestling video of the, like, that confrontation, they titled the video, "Is Don Callis the Change That Chris Jericho Needs?"
Oh, wow. That's a rom-com slogan. That's right on the poster.
Listen, we're
with them walking through
up.
The leaves.
No, I think that they're really leaning into it. Interesting. I think that I'm a little... This isn't even really a complaint because I love watching Don Callis and everything he does. But he does keep being... He keeps saying this stuff like, Kenny Omega isn't who you think. And I know he is just a liar and he's just like created a version of events that's made up. But I do keep being like, Don Callis, I think they could have set up a slightly better like reason for what happened with Don Callis and Kenny, especially because, like, I don't know. You know what? I can't.
No. You're right. I think that they skipped some steps.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been theories. Actually, I think, Allie, you said this to me, that they wanted to get Hangman into the Elite quicker than they normally would have, because they wanted United to be front. Able to, united front against,
you know who.
You know who. But I think that they skipped some steps, because Don Callis's reason for turning on Kenny never made sense. No. And now it's like he doesn't have the foundation there, so everything he's trying to add to it kind of is shaky, you know? Like,
yeah. Slides off. Like, I really enjoy all his promos, but it's like, wow, I retain nothing. And does he just have to cash it? Like, what is happening?
Well, because it feels like the right, potentially the right thing to do, because of the stage of, like, Kenny's career that he's in, and, like, the trios kept losing. Like, Don Callis's character is, like, sleaze manager starfucker. Like, he's like, I want to ride coattails, and I don't really bring anything to the table. I mean, he does. He's a great talker, but it's like, I don't really bring anything to the table. Like, I'm just trying to, you know, it's like a Hollywood agent kind of deal.
You're right.
It makes sense if he was like, basically was like, Kenny is old trash to me now, and I'm picking up a hot young star. And then also it's a good story for Kenny to be like, baby, I'm still the fucking god of pro wrestling, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you're completely right. But then that just makes me think, like, that doesn't really make sense that he's going after Chris Jericho next, because you think he would just, like, want to build a young stable of, like, hot boys who need him. You know? Like, he should be going after Daniel Garcia if he's going after a JAS member.
Yeah. But then it would make sense if he was like, I can use Jericho to get to guys. It's really noisy. I think that the story I'm telling might be too hot for a cape. I don't know. I think I can't fully put it together, but it's interesting. I just have a somewhat unformed thought about how, like, in wrestling, sometimes there's a little problem of, like, what are the stakes at the end of the day? It's just that you win a belt. And I know that men really care about those belts, but a belt doesn't matter actually at all. So the stakes are kind of low. So, like, to me, sometimes I'm just like, it's really just about a belt. And that sometimes I just wonder, like, what are the stakes for Don Callis? And actually they're kind of interesting, because he doesn't wrestle anymore. So it's like, he's like, I have to be attached to people to get value from this business. Like, to keep making money, I need to find people that I can feed off of. And that's interesting, but he doesn't really, and that's the undercurrent, but I just think that you could write it a little different.
Yeah.
But they don't have, you know,
I know,
don't have any of those great SAG writers in the world of wrestling. Not again, SAG.
Wrestlers Guild. If only there was a Wrestlers Guild.
They need it.
They do.
Those great SAG writers. I'm like, those amazing. No, it is the Screenwriters Guild. The Screen. SWG and SAG. It's the Screenwriters Guild and the Screen Actors Guild.
That's right.
Okay. I got there. I'm fine. I've been fine this whole time. I was Googling today just to double. It's a little late, but because the Screen Actors Guild are now on strike, I was Googling being like, it's okay that we're watching wrestling, right? Then they're not doing anything wrong.
And is it okay?
It is okay, because none of them, I mean, it's like AEW, I actually Googled it because someone had said something on Twitter about, like, AEW having writers now. And I was like, I don't think they do.
Yeah.
And if they do, they should be doing a better job. But then I just looked it up, and it's like, it falls outside the umbrella. So actually found a very strange, like, quote from Nick Khan being like, I hope that the writers get their money. It has nothing to do with us, but I hope they get their money. I was like, wow.
I guess that's nice.
I think you're bad, but I don't really know why, but that's nice that you're supporting them. Don't tell me why he's bad. I don't want to know. I don't like Nick Khan, okay? It's okay. Anything else you want to say about Jericho? Do you like this Taylor Swift joke?
I loved it.
Thank you. I said, if Chris
we didn't talk about Jake Hager at all. I cannot believe that he's I can't believe he's dumping his emotional support, Jake Hager.
I know. It's like.
Well, but it was that his emotional support, Jake Hager, preemptively dumped him. Like, it was a little bit like a scene that you would see in a movie where he's like, Jake Hager's being like, well, I guess you've got more stuff going on now and you don't need old Jake. And so Hager have his hat. And you wanted him to walk away and Chris be like, anywhere Jericho goes, Jake goes. Jake, come back. Jack because he's disbanded, like, but anywhere I go, you go, buddy.
Right. Because does Jake Hager really care if Danny Garcia and Sammy Guevara are around? Like, you think he'd get more daddy time without them?
I think that this episode
might have to shut our podcast down. I mean, I think, you know, we're well intentioned, but things come out of our mouths and they're just not right. We're not right to say. He needs more daddy. But you're right. I mean, it was just strange to me. I agree, because I'm like, Jake, you've been in, I think, every faction that Chris Jericho's ever had, right? Like,
day one guy.
You're inner circle, baby. Like, it would make more sense to me if you were like, yeah, maybe you're going to dump those other schmucks, but not me, right, Dad?
It would be so funny if Chris Jericho went to Don Callis and was like, I'll join my your family if my son can come with me, my large adult son.
And Don Callis is just like, you know, when you have a group of friends and someone's dating someone that everybody else hates and they keep bringing them to stuff, like, Don Callis is like, oh, great, Jake's here.
Uh-huh. Okay, well. Oh, my God. I would kill for 6 weeks of Don Callis passive-aggressiving Jake. Every time he comes on stage, he's like, yay, Jericho, and Jake's here.
Jake. It's also a little bit, though, like, so Don Callis has swept in and he's like, Chris, I loved you back then. I love you now. I think we could make a great team. Let's get married. They get married. And that's when Chris Jericho is like, and my adult son, Jake Hager, of course, will live in our basement. He's always lived in mine. And then Don Callis is just like, okay, wait a second. I guess I kind of thought that your adult son, Jake Hager, could get his own house. And Jericho's just like, he can't. He just likes living here. He likes living downstairs.
He's got his posters. He's got a record player.
He's so tall. Put in some bunk beds. He bumps his head every time he leaves the basement. Don's like, he's got to get an apartment. Jericho's like, no, he likes it. Wakes him up. Well, I don't know what we just talked about for the past 15 minutes, to be honest.
Tony, that's another free idea for you. You're welcome.
We have been kicking him out tonight, just one after another.
Yet again, I know that our great idea of Jake Hager keeps bumping his head on stuff. People are like, WWE shit. No, but when Jake does it, it's going to be good. And when Jake does it, it's going to be really funny. Jake is bumping his head. Big Bill is getting his knee stuck
going
in the bumper.
You know,
I saw someone else on Twitter today being like, is Big Bill wearing a thong? It's like, yeah, it looks like it, doesn't it?
Really looks like it. Every time he comes out, I'm startled anew. Of course, I would support him if he wanted to come out in a thong, but it isn't a thong, but it looks like one. The end. Let's finally, now that we've really worked ourselves up, let's talk about the Babysitter's Club and the Elite.
The amount of deranged shit that we've said so far, and now we're getting into the BCC personally. I'm really worried. I have to say I'm pretty worried.
To be honest, it's troubling. Okay, so Hung Bucks fought Dark Order on Rampage, and they lost because of reasons of people ran in and stuff. I don't know. And I can't remember, but we did watch it together. We all saw it, and they won. Takeshita and Claudio interfered, and Uno pinned for the win. And that is great.
Wasn't this the dick punch match?
Yeah, Evil Uno punched Hangman in the dick, yeah.
Oh, and I saw that.
Takeshita came out and distracted Hangman right before he was going to do the buckshot to Lariat. Blow. And then Uno punched him in the dick.
Yeah.
We watched that together, huh? Okay.
We were sleepy girls.
We were tired.
Very sleepy girls, yeah.
When we stay up for Rampage, we are tired girls.
Everything that happens after 10 p.m. I can only watch TV. I'm okay with forgetting everything that happened.
Yeah.
So,
and that's most really TV I watch, honestly. Mm. And then Kenny ran out for the save at the end. Okay. Any general thoughts on the match or on Dark Orbies? On Dark Order's current vibes and storyline.
People have been so mean about Dark Order, and I don't understand why. It's like they've always been here, and they're fun. It's like they're dorks. It's like, yeah.
It's
you're watching
bullying.
Wrestling, so
it's
who's a dork?
Bullying.
It is bullying.
Okay. It is bullying. I just think that, like, they're so – all six of them were so good at keeping, like – this point of the match, like, carried through. Like, I think a lot of wrestlers do really good about, like, starting the match being like, this is what's going to happen. And at the end, they remember again. They're like, right, because I'm mad at you. And, like, in the middle, they get distracted because they're like, I'm doing really good wrestling. But, like, I really think that this match was so good. Like, the whole, like, Hangman is the absolute goat at wrestling while agonized. Like, he can just be doing really cool wrestling while his face is just miserable. And he's like, I wish it wasn't happening to me.
And, you know, it actually just occurred to me, but so I do hate when people do, like, shocked, and I've been told it's WWE face, where they, like, don't get the pin, and they're just like, what? I can't believe I didn't get it. Hangman is so good whenever pinning or being pinned. Like, he does just look like, I want to fucking win this match and be done with this fucking match. And he gets that face. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Hangman is just really good at staying in character all the time. And he has, like, the best grasp on his whole deal.
He does. But, like, I really do think all six of them. Like, Alex Reynolds also surprised me.
Oh, Alex Reynolds has been doing great. Yeah.
Like, his indignant, like, fury the whole time where he's just like, he's so hurt and so, like, lashing out about it, and, like, being able to wrestle an entire match while you're an avenging demon is so good.
That's true. Alex Reynolds really, I think, is underrated because he has been doing great work at being furious. It's very compelling.
Dark Order are really good. I do think that some people just have a relationship with them where they're like, I never forget that if I was in high school with those guys, I would shove them in a locker. And it's like, yeah, I know, you have really bad vibes. So it's very clear to me that you would do that. And there's no reason for that. Okay, so then on Dynamite this week, we got, like, pre-announcements, like the fifth men for Bloody Guts are going to be announced. So after the main event with Nick Wayne and Swerve, I think this is what happened. BCC came out to announce their fifth man, and Don Callis was with them, and he got on the mic and started just lambasting Kenny and being mean about Kenny again and being like, Kenny betrayed me, or I don't, whatever his narrative is that we don't quite know, but we don't mind because we like him. And so Kenny backstage heard this. Oh my God, we didn't even talk about Roddy Strong watching backstage, watching MJF and Adam Cole win that match.
So funny. The fact that they kept following up with, like, both MJF and Adam Cole, and I was like, oh, delightful, we're seeing them again. And then they would cut to Roddy Strong again. I'm like, oh my God. You're keeping this going. Like, they do such bad follow through most of the time, but this is just like chef's kiss.
I know.
Last week, Roderick Strong went on a Hinge date, and at the end of the date, he said, I'd love to see you again. And she was like, I just think that you have some other stuff going on. You talked about your friend Adam the whole time. She's like, yeah, you and Adam are really close, huh? You're really worried about Adam's relationship, huh? Okay, I'm sorry that I suddenly remembered that. I guess Kenny was watching backstage, so he came out to attack Don Callis. And got attacked by Mox Takeshita and BCC's fifth man, the Bastard Pack. How do you feel?
Love it. I mean, I will say that I really had talked myself into being super into Jericho being in that cage, being like, what are these fucks doing? Why are they wrestling so bad, like so long? I can't be doing this. But the Pack is great because Pack and Kenny really do have, like, some history, and
pack, like, he exploded into that ring where he was like, I've been trapped in England with my nose surgery, and now I'm back, and I'm going to make it your problem.
And he was really talking. He was yelling he and was. Talking.
Yeah, really enunciating. Yeah, I like Pac. I never get that excited for him. Like, I've never been that invested. So it's like, but it's fine. It'll be good wrestling. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. And I think he's going to bring quite a deranged energy. Mm-hmm. And actually, Lee, I think you pointed this out. Everybody in this match is actually going to be bringing quite a deranged energy. And I can't wait for that.
I cannot wait.
So, okay. So Pac is beating Kenny up and he's so mad at him. And they drag Kenny in the ring, and they put Kenny's head in a chair. I don't like when they do that, and I don't think they're allowed to anymore, but I guess it's effective in getting a reaction out of me. And Pac was going to jump on it, and I guess, I think, take his head off. I mean, when you think about, like, how the physics should actually work whenever they put someone's limb in those chairs, I'm like, and break it off? Break it all the way off? This is too mean.
But did you guys see the screen cap on Twitter where someone was like, I really like this at the end, because it was like the Young Bucks and Hangman were all celebrating after they'd run them off, and Kenny was still choking in the background. He was like still inside the chair.
Just a lot of classic wrestling comedy in this segment. Like, complimentary. Loved every moment of it. Because Kenny's getting choked out, and he just like garbles out something like, look at the screen.
But worse than that, he goes, look at the screen, you bitch.
Just like,
literally nobody is better than Kenny. Nobody is better than Kenny.
It was so funny. My pet recapper Manolo was like, this didn't make any sense. It was logically stupid. And I was like, it was, Manolo, but I have to ask you, was it less logical than 90% of what we watch on wrestling? Because it wasn't. Because I remembered, as I was reading that, I was like, remember that time that, like, Adam Cole was in a feud, so he came out, and they just never said why he came out. And he just
It was
got
like
jumped.
It was for a match. Like, they announced didn't announce him. And
they
then...
didn't announce a match. He just came out, got jumped, and left. And afterwards, we were like, why was he there?
Right. There was no opponent. Like, he was walking to the ring, but...
It's like, that's the realm that
that's
we're in.
That's the bar.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think this was fine. But he said, look at the screen, you bitch. And it was a video of Kota Ibushi, who will be fifth man for the Elite. And he looked very strong. And he's punching Kota. And, and then that. And then he got Hung Bucks came safe.
He wasn't there in person because there's no way he could have made it to Saskatoon with all the connections.
That seems to be that everyone seemed to think they couldn't have thought that was a good idea. They said, no, we'll catch him in Boston.
I loved it because, like, the drama of look at the screen, you bitch. Everyone turns. They watch the Ibushi thing. And then the Bucks and, like, Hangman appear and then run them off. And it's all just timed so perfectly. Where I was like, you're such drama queens. Like, yeah. Kenny got his ass beat, but they were like, not yet. Wait for the perfect moment.
He's going to get their eyes on that video. And that has been well run.
And they're going to want to watch it. They won't jump on him because they want to know who that fifth man is.
But it's like the rules of wrestling. Mm-hmm. The internal logic is like, yeah, they will want to know. Like, that is one thing that we can say is that in wrestling, people can always be distracted with information. And it's just a fact of the kayfabe universe. Is like, if you're like, you're going to want to see this, people are like, I am going to want to see
it. Well, it's like, if logic plays such a role, how come every time they run out for a save, their music hits? Like, it was such a surprise.
It's like, and sometimes I imagine them, like, stopping to tell someone. They're like, we're running out now, so we're number 63 on the list.
I have thought that too. And my picture is just like some little guy behind a soundboard, and he's right at the mouth of the tunnel, and he's like, just like, oh God,
they're coming
Kenny's
through
here. Hold on.
And he manages to hit the button just as Kenny hits the ramp.
Oh my gosh. Wrestling is fun. When wrestling's fun, it's fun. Oh, and also Kenny gave this little speech at the end yelling at the BCC guys about how it's all going to be over at Blood and Guts and about how the elite are about heart, passion, and love. And I said, fuck yes, Kenny. Finally, you say it. These are the stakes. That's why Kenny is the GOAT. That's why the elite are so good, is because they're like, yeah, belts aren't stakes. Belts don't really matter that much. It's about love.
Yeah.
Into the company of love.
It's about intimacy. It's about friendship. It's about love. Yeah.
Thank you. Those are stakes. Love matters.
Love wins.
I'll say it.
We'll be the first to say it. Love wins.
And when Coda and Kenny are in that ring together, yeah.
Did you guys
just
see the
cute little Macklemore there?
Did you guys see the clip of Mox, like, when they got chased out of the ring and Mox was just backing up the ramp going, you think I'm scared of a Bushi? Fuck you.
Oh, it's gonna be
every
so
single
fun.
Person in that cage is gonna be out of their mind.
So crazy. Yeah,
it's gonna be crazy. And Leah, you're gonna be there IRL.
I cannot believe it. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, you don't know if you're gonna be on camera or not.
I don't, yeah, well, because it's never been, they've never been at the TD Garden, so, like, we're not 100% sure, but Sarah says there's a hole of, like, seats that have not been released still, and so she thinks we did pick the hard cam side, which is good, because I don't want to be on camera.
That's bad for us. No, I wanted to watch you.
I really can't be on camera when Matt Jackson is.
I need to see you on camera, though.
We need to see you.
I can't be having that. I need to be alone with what's
that's
going
right.
on. With me.
You have your veils that you wear to the to the live performances.
Yeah.
That's gonna be great for you.
My privacy curtains.
Your privacy curtains. It's gonna be so fun in there. I feel like so stupid because I just don't have anything that interesting to say. I'm just like, it's gonna be crazy.
I wonder if Hangman is going to be like a little bit weird about Ibushi, because I feel like the last time they were all together, there was weird stuff, although I'm not up on all the lore.
And Ibushi, I believe, like, he wants to fight Hangman.
Yeah.
In real
he
life.
Said it,
like, has
he
brought
said
that
it a bunch
lot.
Of times. Yeah.
So it's like, well, then you maybe do want to brew a little perpetual discord.
I did think in that picture of the five of them, the Golden Elite with Hangman at the end, like, wow, little fifth wheel here.
Well, it'll be very interesting, because at this point, Blood and Guts is kind of a climactic situation for the feud, especially because presumably we're spinning into the build to All In, where a lot of these guys, I think they're going to want in singles matches. Some of which seems clear what they might be, some not so clear. What do you guys think, or like, what would you like to see out of kind of the rest of the summer in terms of the interpersonal dynamics between this ever expanding network of freaks?
I would like to see hell if possible.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, and if they get that Max deal, it's more likely than ever.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I would like these men to have interpersonal problems that make me, like, lay on the floor. Just being like, I cannot believe this is happening.
Yeah. Failure to communicate.
Really,
don't talk.
Really
good.
Complexify it. Yeah. Get in there. I'm sad, though, that Bryan Danielson broke his stupid arm, because I feel like him in the mix with Mox and stuff would also be fun for me.
But they can continue to do stuff with him. Like, even if he's not wrestling, I think they could do some interesting stuff with his relationship to the BCC. And actually, I don't really think they will do this, but Bryan Danielson does not seem like a man who would be doing, like, that well in his fight club when he personally can't fight. And that's something they could really play with.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, get him out there on commentary mad about how he can't go to the dungeon.
Do you think
anymore.
He'll be on commentary for Blood and Guts?
I hope so. It would be so fun.
You guys will have to tell me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's
yeah,
the worst part of seeing things in person.
I know.
I always wanted to have, like, it in my ear the way you can at museums.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be great.
I wonder if you could hack it together. It probably depends on what the reception's like.
Yeah, and I don't think that you'd really be able to. I
think it'd be on
it'd
a,
be
delay.
A delay. Yeah.
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 I do miss commentary when I'm live, though.
I need a little guidance.
Yeah. We're really stupid girls and we just need help.
It was really hard at All Out when we were still fairly new and mm-hmm. our seats were not that good.
No.
And we didn't really know what we were looking at. So we were just like, is this good?
Yay.
But you know what? What I will say is that because that was the show where we saw the Luchas get the belts from the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And that, like, when we watched that match, we weren't saying, like, is this good? We were like, yeah, we can see that it's good.
Yeah.
And that, it's like, when you see good wrestling, you know it's good.
You know it's good.
You know
it really grabs your attention. I was thinking about little baby stuff. When you mentioned the Inner Circle earlier, for some reason I remembered, like, when we had just started watching, at some point, like, Jericho was like, oh, yeah, and that's why I invited him to be in the Inner Circle, which is, like, a huge honor. And I remember thinking, like, is it? Wow, is this, like, an established group that's, like, only the best guys get invited? And now it's like, oh, no. That's not what that was.
There's so much stuff that we didn't understand. But you know what? I think there also was stuff that we understood better than some people who've watched wrestling for a long time. Because we bring our unique perspective to the table. And we have a lot to offer.
We do have a unique perspective.
Yeah. And sometimes it means we say things we shouldn't.
I'm thinking again about when we were re-listening to our first couple episodes for our anniversary and we were just listening to ourselves be like, and the Bucks, they went heel and they picked out new outfits, which was so inventive.
Those guys are crazy.
They got brand new outfits for their new personalities. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh. We barely even loved them then. We had barely begun to love.
Yeah.
And now
we couldn't tell the difference between Matt and Nick. Can you imagine?
No. And I see people periodically on Twitter say they can't tell the difference between Matt and Nick. And now I'm so like scornful. Like, I'm just like, then you shouldn't speak.
I do always think back to like the earliest like interviews I saw. Like, I feel like when they were doing their wrestlers getting room service thing and like they had Chuck Taylor on it. I remember that one and being like, are these guys like identical twins or what? They're not. And no, it seems crazy now.
Says, yes, yes, we are. And Nick says, well, we're not, but go on. I can read your mind because we're identical twins. We're not, but go on. Did I miss anything that you guys desperately wanted to talk about?
You know, again, you've missed my collision notes. I take all this time to like write you essays about collision and you won't put it in the schedule.
I'm so sorry. I really like that. Something for us to work through in therapy, you know, that's
in maybe couples
it's not
therapy
appropriate to talk about on the pod.
Yeah. After we finish this podcast, the three of us go into therapy. Don't worry about it.
It's private.
We need it.
And did I miss something that you wanted to talk about collision as well?
Well, you know, I love that meat and potatoes wrestling, you know, kind of the serious stuff. So it's good for the casuals.
It's good for the cat. And it's nice when it's long and when it's slow. That's what I like.
The slower, the better. That's what I say.
You know, wrestling's a lot like a crock pot.
Collision is perpetual stew. Oh my god!
It is just the same five people.
Well, it depends on the day.
It depends on the day. It's just the same five ingredients, like wrestling each other in slightly different combinations, but not very different.
I like sometimes you watch the TikToks and she's like, "These are all the things that we got, you know, that we're putting in the perpetual stew for tomorrow," and it's just different types of potatoes. And you think like, "Yeah, it's not going to be adding a lot of flavor, is it?" Well,
but it's a lot of nutrition though. So
that's so true. But it's also conceptually gross.
Yeah. When you throw some FTR potatoes into your potential stew, it's not adding a lot of flavor. No.
And it's been bubbling for a while now. We're in week but only 1 month into the perpetual stew. Oh, to see where we will go.
Honestly, like, I have found the discourse much more tolerable. It feels like they've quieted down on some things now that I can just segregate them in their own little
It's true. Area. Yeah. But it is also, well, we don't have to get into the collision of it all. We'll just kind of see what happens there. You know, we're just going to kind of see what happens.
Yeah.
And to those who love it, don't listen to this podcast. And you don't. And I know you don't. So all good there. And we'll be back next week with more adult lover updates, I'm sure. And blood and guts. Oh, and behind the scene blood and guts updates.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you what happens.
That's some boots on the ground reporting.
Some boots on the ground. I'll tell you what's up.
Mm-hmm. Whatever she has managed to see through her privacy veil, she will report on. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week. And also, I forgot to say, we're also on Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod. And so now you can come back next week for those boots on the ground, baby. Goodbye.